Joshua chapter 10. Still looking at the southern campaign. We found in chapter 9 that Israel had made an agreement with the Gibeonites. Should have never done it. God certainly didn't want that to happen, but God ended up, as we'll see in this chapter, using it to help them in their conquering of the land. Of course, they had been deceived into thinking the men that came were ambassadors from a faraway land. Joshua and the leaders sinned in not seeking the counsel of God before making the pact with them, as is recorded in chapter 9, verse number 14. The wrong, of course, was later discovered. The Gibeonites were made servants. The sin was confessed and forsaken. And so now we move on in the coming battles to finish up the southern campaign here in chapter 10. We have seen, number one, believing the enemy. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, believing the enemy. And then, secondly, enlisting the enemy. Chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. And then today, number three, defending the enemy. Defending the enemy, chapter 10, verses 1 through 28. So this past sin ended up being used by God to accelerate the conquest. So let's begin. I'm going to have you read just a little of it, and then I'll probably just, for sake of not having to read it twice, because it is a long chapter. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but I'll just read and comment as we go after the initial reading. So I need somebody to read verses 1 through 5. Tell you what, let's read through verse number 15. So somebody take 8, somebody take 7 verses. Billy, you want to take the first 8? And then, Becca, you want to take 9 through 15. Hello, Sherry.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. All right, Bill, go ahead.
Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Hiram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and you may attack Gibeon, for it is made peace with Joshua and the kings of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon, and made war against it.
3:8.
And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Pray that you help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you.
Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth-horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal.
All right, thank you both. Defending the enemy. In the first four verses, we find a five-member coalition. And in the very first verse, it talks about Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem. And he had heard, of course, about Joshua's fame, how he'd taken Ai, destroyed it, what he had done to Jericho and the king of Jericho, what he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And of course, they were filled with fear. Gibeon was a great or a royal city. And so they were filled with fear. So, two reasons to join with four other southern kings against Gibeon. Talking about this king of Jerusalem. Number one, to try and stop Israel by getting this important city. And secondly, to punish Gibeon for joining with the enemy. And I have a note I wrote in my Bible, we face many coalitions of enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, delusion, doubt, despair, discouragement, pride, prejudice, laxity, and lukewarmness, among many other things as we go through life. And then reading on or looking further, we see in verse number 3, wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So God would end up using these events to accomplish his own purposes, even the sin of Joshua and the leaders making this pact without seeking the counsel of God. As we read in the last chapter, we find here that God will use this joining together of these nations to accomplish his purposes even more quickly, because all five would be defeated basically at the same time. So it would save some time, wouldn't it? It's kind of like killing five birds with one army. So that's what we see here. God can and will use our past failures to accomplish his purposes. It doesn't mean we should try to fail, of course, but all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The things that we do in failure may sometimes even embarrass us, especially those things caused by us running ahead of God. Most Christians today don't run ahead of God, but lag behind. But there are some that do. And it's just as dangerous to get ahead of God and his will and purposes than it is to lag behind. Both cause severe problems in our lives. We should always be seeking the will of God and the purposes of God. So the battle against Gibeon, verses 5 through 27. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, their armies, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Now, since Israel had made a pact with them, then they would be expected to help protect them. At least that's what they thought. So the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua. Joshua, of course, is the Old Testament equivalent of Jesus. Jehovah is Savior. When they knew they were in trouble, they came to Joshua for protection. And I can't help but to think, oh my, if lost sinners would come to the Savior Jesus, the New Testament, equivalent to Joshua, Jesus, the Savior, if they would come to him, realizing their plight and turn to him in repentance and faith and be saved while there's yet time. We don't know. We're entering a new year tomorrow. 2024, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live through the night. We will enter into a brand new year. And pray with me that this will be the year we'll see more souls saved, lives changed, people added to the church, maybe more than ever before. Because time is running out in more ways than one. The Lord's going to come back soon. Or we don't know if this will be the year we'll go to meet him. But we desperately need to seek the Lord and do his work together. All right, so they sent to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal. That's where they were camping, of course, camped out, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us, help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor, which of course were the primo military. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. The ascent from Gilgal were 15 very difficult miles. And they did this through the night. So obviously it would have been quite taxing. Three factors combined for Joshua's success in battle. The first one, of course, is believing the promise of God. And that holds true for us as well. The battles that we face in life, the war's already been won. The victory's ours. Christ did it when he hung upon a cross, paid our sin debt in full. He was buried and rose again. And of course, he ascended. He's still alive today. The same Jesus will come to receive us unto himself. So we can believe the promises of God. God has never lied, cannot lie. And so whatever he has promised to do, he will accomplish. And we need to trust that and not fear so much and be filled with anxiety as we go through life. We look around and see what's happening in our world. We see what's happening in our nation. And if we're not careful, we can be filled with fear and anxiety when we should know that God is in control and we need not fear. So the Lord told Joshua again, don't be filled with fear. I have delivered them into thine hand. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So the first factor, believing the promises of God. Secondly, using sound strategy. Joshua used sound strategy. He traveled through the night, an all night march. So when they got to Gibeon, they could have a surprise or use a surprise attack against Gibeon. And then number three, they called on the Lord in prayer, verses 10 through 15. They called on the Lord in prayer. So God, again, would use their past failures to accomplish his purposes. They believed God as we should, and they called on him for strength. God said, I will deliver them, Joshua, into your hand. And of course, as we face the battles of life, we need also to seek the Lord. And the Lord, another fantastic KJV word, the Lord discomfited them. I've also added that to my vocabulary And we'll be using that from here on out. The Lord discomfited them before Israel. They were filled with fear and confusion. And slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way and goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great hailstones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. It's interesting to note that when Israel was obeying his will, everything in the universe worked for them. Everything in the universe. And obviously the source of all that is God. You've heard of hail being dropped from heaven before, right? Back in Exodus. Well, it's interesting to note that I don't read anything about a single child of God being struck by a hailstone. Obviously, it was a miracle of God. God sent hailstones to fall upon the heads of the enemy, but no hail hurt Israel. Then spake Joshua the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And this was, of course, a prayer to God. Some translations have, Son, be silent. Now, there's all kinds of speculation, all kinds of opinions on what actually happened here. Some Bible deniers say, well, it was probably I'm trying to think of the term. It just left me. Eclipse. It's eclipse of the sun. Others say, well, it appeared to Israel that the day was longer, but it really wasn't. It just was in their minds. We know, of course, that the earth travels around the sun. Okay, now the sun, if the sun stood still, what would that do? Do anything for the battle, would it? So it involves something with earth either stopping on its axis, or some say the sun followed the earth to keep day. It's all kinds of speculation. Billy's got something to say so bad. Look at him chomping at the bits.
My father worked for NASA. And he worked.
Don't tell me he stopped the sun.
No.
Okay.
But they calculate in their formula for any satellite that is put into space that very fact. Plus the 3 degrees the sun went back on Hezekiah's sundial.
That's right. Forgot about Hezekiah.
They account for that because if they don't, he told me what degrees they would be off and what that would do to the parameters for launching that satellite, but it would not meet its target if they did not account for that.
Awesome.
It was the first time they launched one. It was back during the Pioneer. Remember the Pioneer satellites?
Yeah.
The first time they launched one for a deep space probe, it missed by we're talking
buku.
Thousands.
Yeah, by the time it gets way out there.
So that arc, they had to include in that arc the time factor that the Earth did that.
Wow.
And he said, when he said that, they account for the Earth, not for the Sun, but for the Earth.
Yeah.
Because that's what affects the trajectory of anything leaving.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it would appear to me that it's not too difficult for the Creator God to do whatever he wants with nature. We saw Jesus, we didn't see it, but we've read about it, and we know it to be true, that he caused storms to cease. He raised the dead. He created food.
And the reason for that, not to interrupt you, the reason for that is because just the earth, not the rest of the planets and stars. They kept on their normal course.
Yeah.
That's why that account has to be taken into consideration.
Okay. And the moon was involved too.
Right.
Because the moon and the sun, the earth all kind of work together, don't they? You got tides and all kinds of different stuff. All right, so they had a very long day, literally. They had a long day. They needed to finish the battle. The sun stood still. The moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? And we've heard of that book of Jasher before. It's been referred to before, and it would be referred to again, I believe. I'm not going to guess. I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, refers to this book of Jasher, a book of poetry that honored military heroes of the past. And you might say, well, wait a minute, that's an extra biblical book. Why is it being referred to? Because if God puts it in his book, as he did here, then it becomes absolute truth. So if the book of Jasher is referred to, and there's another name for it, but I don't know it off the top of my head, it's referred to the word wars in the second name. But anyway, it's another name for the book Jasher. If God puts it in, then it's absolute truth. It's part of the Word of God. Remember when Paul referred to poets, Greek poets. Greek poets aren't inspired of God, or their writings, excuse me, are not inspired of God, but yet what Paul referred to became part of the Scripture, and so it is absolute truth like anything else. All right, it's written, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And we know, of course, the sun doesn't actually go down. The earth rotates on its orbit. And we have 24-hour days, and we have day, and we have night. When we turn our backs on the sun, then we have nighttime. All right, so that's three factors combined to give Joshua success in his attack, believing God, using sound strategy. God expects us to use the wisdom that he gives us. We have to seek him and make sure we're doing his will, but God gives us brains. Matter of fact, in one of the parables, the Lord said to count the cost, right? What man builds a tower doesn't figure out how much it costs before he starts, lest you get halfway in the project and you can't finish it. And then calling on the Lord in prayer. Prayer is essential if we're going to be victorious in the Christian life. And then verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after. By the way, this is the last recorded miracle in the book of Joshua. There's no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. And then we read about the actual destruction of these five kings. But these five kings fled and hid themselves. That sounded like they were very dedicated kings. I'm out of here. And they headed for the hills and went into caves and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, we got a battle to finish, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Another key KJV word, hindmost. Need to add that to your vocabulary. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. It came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And of course, this showed the people of Israel and anyone that would know of this that God had won a total victory, complete victory. It came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings, not only showing their ultimate defeat and death ultimately, but the fact that God would do more. This was just the beginning. This was symbolic of what God would do to all of their enemies. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Sounds a lot like what the Lord and Moses before him said to Joshua in the past. Now Joshua is passing on. Fear not, don't be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Our Lord Jesus has destroyed all of his enemies, which of course are our enemies, and will one day return and ultimately destroy them all. All of those that hate God, which majority of people hate God, we see more of it in our nation than we've ever seen before. People think they're God. That's the big thing about abortion. Not the right to kill the baby, that's one part of it. The other part is people think they're God. And so they want to exercise control over their own bodies. And of course, that life that is in the body is a separate life, which we all know. I don't need to go through all that again. Joshua's words of encouragement here in verse 25. Since he is a type of Christ, we can apply these words to us. Number one, some things to ponder. Jesus has defeated all of his enemies. And of course, as I mentioned, one day he will return and destroy them forever. Secondly, no matter how they rage and rebel, our Lord's enemies are only his footstool. Psalm 2. 1 through 3, Psalm 110, 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 25. No matter how they rage and rebel, our Lord's enemies are only his footstool. And then lastly, through Christ, victory can be claimed, and we can put our feet on the necks of our enemies. Through Christ, victory can be claimed, and we can put our feet on the necks of our enemies. Romans 16 and verse number 20. And afterward, verse 26, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded that they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were therein he let none remain. He did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him unto Libna, and fought against Libna. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day. and smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done in Libnah. Then Hiram, king of Gezer, which is what I am, a Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until they had left him none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it, and they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done in Lachish, done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and all the south, and the vale, the valleys, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. So to wrap it up, we must be alert and prayerful, lest we be deceived by the enemy and walk by sight rather than by faith. When we walk by sight and not by faith, we again will experience failure, making wrong decisions and getting into alliances with those we should not align with. But there is encouragement. God can even take our blunders, our sins, and turn them into blessings. That's how great our God is. Questions or comments? Anybody? Yes, sir.
You saw the word Gaza there. That's the same Gaza that's being fought over today.
Amen.
And the fact that they've been doing that, I think people miss the point, especially these guys who don't know what they're doing, they're supporting Hamas, is that Hamas is not really fighting, they're fighting against the Jews, yes. But what they're ultimately fighting against is the God of the Jews. Because their God, Allah, which is really Muslim, is supposedly superior to the God of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Which is not true.
Of course not.
And that's what this whole war is really about. It's about the Muslim belief versus the belief in the God of Israel. And by fighting this battle, they're showing once again why this battle took place in the first place. Is because of their denial of the God of Israel. And God said, if you deny me, I'm going to eliminate you and really preserve any future generations from being condemned to hell as well. That's the purpose. And
yeah.
Ultimately, I mean, a lot of people say, we don't know if they're going to win. I said, yes, they are. Israel will win this war.
Oh, absolutely.
If they stop listening to the cockamamie ideas that are...
Yeah, I wish we'd butt out. The problem is we give them money and then we think we should be able to control everything. We allow our nation to be overrun with illegals and do nothing about it, but we think we have to solve the rest of the world's problems. We can't leave them alone. And, of course, something else, the Ayatollah and Hezbollah and all these that are anti-Israel, they also, in a secular sense, are very much against the kind of life we lead in Israel. Their economy is much like ours, so they hate that as well. They don't like for people to prosper for some reason. They only want the hierarchy of their country to have the money, the people. They don't care. Yeah, it's all about control. All right, let's go over the prayer list together. Let me read our last two missionary reports. Day 7, we will reach the lost through discipleship. Thank you for the work you're doing through IMB. Say that fast 10 times. Thank you, Michael. IMB missionary Paul Yout. Thank you that he's uniquely positioned to use his deafness to share your gospel with other deaf. Thank you, Joseph, a Senegalese believer, and how his life is being used to further your gospel among the deaf. Thank you for bringing Paul and other Christians into Joseph's life who disciple him in his own heart sign language. Please continue to grow Joseph's faith and understanding of your words so he will be able to effectively communicate that to others. Thank you for Joseph's willingness to put gospel stories into sign language for others to understand. We praise you for national believers and missionaries who feel called to bring gospel access that leads to disciple-making to those who may never hear the gospel, but will hopefully one day see it. Bless the Bible translation work of IMB missionaries and deaf believers. Let many connect with your word as it is presented visually so that they may come to know and treasure the gospel. And then day 8, we will reach the lost through commitment. Lord, we praise you for the long-term commitment of missionaries around the world. When disasters strike the nations, our missionaries respond with love and compassion because you have already given them a love for these people. For your glory, we are committed to love people in times of plenty and in times of great need. Central Asia is a region where natural disasters are common. Even as this year's earthquakes killed more than 50,000 people, other disasters brought hardships and sufferings, landslides, floods, drought, avalanches, mud flows, and extreme temperatures led to homelessness and hunger. Thankfully, you've called many missionaries to relief work in Central Asia. They're ready to be the hands and feet of Jesus by meeting physical needs and, more importantly, spiritual needs. They are also actively supporting local churches and believers who are taking the gospel to their own people. We recognize that the people's greatest need is the gospel, and that through our missionaries, we are delivering the gospel to the lost. With clean drinking water, we bring the living water. This is our commitment. Keep us steadfast. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so that's the last two of the 8 that we have been given. Continue to pray for our church. Pray for 2024 that, again, God would build his church, that we'd see souls saved. Pray for our nation. 2024 is election year, and the far-left radical Marxist freakos are going to do everything they can to steal the election, not just the presidential, but others as well. Pray that that won't happen, or that its effect won't, whatever they do, won't affect the results. Pray for Israel and their victory. Ukraine, that Zelensky and Putin would sit down and get this thing over with. It's ridiculous. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House, Mark and his health, Mary, and her battle with bronchitis, Missy Nixon, Barbara Mason with cancer. Continue to pray for Mason and Brody, Jeff after his hip surgery, Vicky with headaches, Ross McNiffin in rehab, Trudy Alamong, Betty's niece. So far, so good. The infection is not in her system. This has one little spot that needs to heal from the amputation. Pray for George. He has got a bad case of the West Virginia crud. Pray for Charlotte Unger, 2-year-old. I don't know if she's still in the hospital or not, but was in the hospital with breathing problems. And then Judy Shea did go to, finally went to Johns Hopkins. And she has some fluid on the brain, probably from her fall, where she hit her head pretty hard. And they sent her home and wanted to come back to get it drained. So a lot of her problems are related to that pressure on her brain. So pray that she'll get that done and that'll take care of the situation. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. Lord, we think about the last year, this year, 2023, and how you provided for us, how you blessed us in so many ways, even during times of trials and difficulties and heartache. You were there, and you met the need, and you pulled us through. And Lord, now we're entering a new year with new challenges. We could be facing a very difficult year for our country. We're leaning on you, trusting in you, Lord, because most things are out of our control. So we're looking to you for wisdom and insight and understanding and courage and great faith. Lord, help us to be more faithful this year in telling others of your love and of the gift of salvation through Christ and his shed blood. Lord, give us renewed courage and desire to invite people to church, knowing that if you were to come back or if they were to die, they would be eternally separated from you in a real place called hell and ultimately the lake of fire. So, Father, help us to show compassion to a lost and dying world like our Savior did and does. And use us for your glory, Lord. We pray you bless the coming hour, that many would come in and we'd have a great service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.